So good. If you got your Bibles, open up to Psalm 139. I'll be there in just a few minutes. Psalm 139. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So good. Last Monday, I was reading through a book called Factfulness. Factfulness. The author proposed some interesting ideas about things that shape our worldview. He believed many things in our world are really getting better, and that with a greater commitment to living by the facts, we would all see the progress being made worldwide. And he called himself a possibilist, which is someone who neither hopes nor fears without reason and who constantly resists having an overdramatic worldview. And he thought that's what allowed him not only to see the progress being made, but also to live with a strong conviction and hope that further progress was possible. Now, I can appreciate that perspective, as well as the way he identified detrimental instincts that skew our vision. But the historical truth about the world's facts is that they change. You know, they used to think the world was flat for a really, really, really long time. Some people still think that. While reading Factfulness, a different idea rose up in my spirit. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Practicing faithfulness to God's written and rhema words revealed to us in the Bible, as well as by and through the Holy Spirit, is the transformative way to live. And it's not an either or, it's a both and. In Jesus' day, many of the strongest people opposing him knew the word that they had back and forth. And they thought by reading it, they were accomplishing what God had, and they missed Jesus walking right in front of them. It can happen today. Today, sometimes people get so into the things of the Spirit that it just gets woo-woo and weird and completely disconnected from the Scriptures. And that's not the way God works either. It's the combination of faithfulness to God's written and rhema words revealed in the Bible as well as through the Holy Spirit that is the transformative way to live. And that's a much better foundation to build our lives upon than our current understanding of the world's facts. When we're practicing faithfulness, our relationship with God's Word and with the Holy Spirit will directly affect how we see and understand the world, both up close and personal, as well as globally. And then we'll make better decisions, and we can avoid being constantly stressed about the wrong things. Last weekend, I talked briefly about a couple of obviously rhetorical questions tucked in the middle of Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And David's answer was absolutely nowhere. The Holy Spirit's presence is the indwelling, ever available, everywhere part of who God is. And not as a spectator, but as our helper, bringing and offering us the light and the revelation that we need. Also remember, from your presence is literally translated from your faces, plural, which is a beautiful reminder of God's triune nature, as well as his personal engagement and interest in every one of us individually. 2 Chronicles 16 says, "The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for," wait, "what is the omniscient, omnipresent God looking for?" He's looking for hearts that are fully given to him. Yes. Why? So he can strengthen them and show himself strong on their behalf. We've already had a couple of heart checks this morning. Here's another. We can live our lives with our hearts closed. We can live our lives thinking that we're just bulletproof. We can live our lives not feeling. But that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for people whose hearts are wide open, fully given to him. And when the all-knowing, all-everything God finds somebody daring to live with their heart open and fully given to him, "I open up my heart to you." When he finds somebody like that, then he strengthens them and he shows himself strong on their behalf. This weekend, let's dig a little deeper into these verses about the Holy Spirit found in the middle of Psalm 139. Because for whatever reason we come up with at the time, we sometimes do find ourselves disconnected from the Spirit. Sometimes it's because we perceived ourselves to move away from him. Maybe we're backsliding, maybe we're mad at God because God's not being God like we think God ought to be in God, and we're trying to tell him how to do it and he's not listening to us. Maybe we've willfully sinned and missed the mark, and so we think we should hide from God like Adam and Eve tried to do in the garden. At other times we feel disconnected because we have unplugged. We don't want to do what God is leading us to do. And so we try to get away from and ignore his presence. And sometimes those disconnected feelings are just the after effects of life happening to us in hard, confusing, and disorienting ways. In our pain, we often assume the worst about God. If we push God's spirit away, more often than not, God will honor our free will choice and give us some space. He may even remove the feelings of his presence because he loves us enough to let us experience the consequence of those pushing away choices. But he never leaves us and he never forsakes us, regardless of what it feels like at the time. Through it all, the Holy Spirit continued to speak to us. God fully understands the process of preparing the soil of our hearts so that we can receive and embrace the life-giving seed of his truth and his love. And God is confident that the day is coming when we will be able to hear him. He knows it's never a waste of his time to communicate with us, even when we can't, don't, or won't listen to him. Our God is patiently persistent. Psalm 8, David wrote, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him?" The Message Bible says, "Why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way?" And the answer is because we are the apple of God's eye. We're the crown jewel of all his creation. And in God's eyes, we're not defined by our limitations. Instead, we're defined by his intentions for us. We are defined by his intentions for us. And those intentions were established when each of us was created in his image. But in our world today, there continues to be an often open but consistently ongoing effort to mar that God-given image in order to diminish the importance of human life. For instance, the real roots and end goal of the green energy movement is not about the environment. It's about population control. And that's the same end goal of those propagating vaccines, 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 as well as those who are trying to create gender confusion. It's also the evil that continues to raise its head so loudly since Roe v. Wade was overturned, all of which piles on top of the destructive issues related to things like human trafficking and violent criminal acts, addictions of every kind, and abusive behaviors. The devil is at work in all of these areas. And so they all come with their own layers of deception and justifications. And deception is very deceiving. Devil's been lying a long time, and he's really good at it. Jesus said the devil's a liar and the father of lies. And Jesus said when the devil lies, he's speaking his native language. And the devil hates humans. Throughout history, he's come up with a variety of ways and causes aimed at killing and prematurely eliminating people from the planet. And today, his agenda is getting more support than ever from the media, social media, and other tech platforms, entertainment programming of every kind, and even the pharmaceutical industry. So what are we to do? Well, in addition to praying, something I learned from Graham Cook is the importance of finding ways to move and respond in the opposite spirit. Graham says, "We cannot change a negative by being involved with the negativity." We cannot change a negative by being involved with the negativity. So we have to constantly evangelize our thoughts and our worldview so we can stay in alignment with God's highest intentions and plans for our lives. We're here at this time and place in history for a reason and a purpose. And we're not here to get swallowed up by the spirit of the age and the ways of the world. We're here to be the salt of the earth. We're here to be the light of the world. We're here to partner with God, releasing in and on the earth things that are in heaven. We're here to be actively moving with and demonstrating something Isaiah said about Jesus. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Listen, I don't know what you've seen in your headlines or in your news feeds. Not many are talking about that going on, but I'm telling you that is going on all over the planet. And we have an option. We can be moving in the stream of the ever-increasing government and peace of God. We can be demonstrating the ever-increasing government and peace of God, or we can get caught in the whirlwind and the whirlpool of the world. I'd say let's stay in the stream of the ever-increasing government and peace of God. 2 Corinthians 10 says, "Though we live in the world, We don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Strongholds, good way to think about strongholds, are houses of thoughts. Houses of thoughts. We won't effectively redeem thoughts in ourselves or in others by using the world's carnal and temporary ways. Only as we access and release divine power can we create lasting change in the thoughts, imaginations, arguments, theories, reasonings, and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. In the Greek, this knowledge of God means knowing the acts and the science of God. Knowing the acts and the science of God. How do we learn that? Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. So many people want to know the truth, but they don't want to hold to his teachings. If we hold to his teachings, then we're really his disciples, and then we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. The Amplified says, if you abide in my word, continually obeying my teachings and living in accordance with them, by practicing faithfulness, we live connected to the truth, and we also get equipped and outfitted with the weapons we fight with as we follow and apply God's word and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. In Hebrew, this where can I flee means where can I bolt to or where can I run away to suddenly? And I just want to say that that instinct to urgently react is not the most common way that God works with us. Instead, the way of wisdom is along the path of peace. Only with God's peace can we see the best way ahead. It's always worth it to wait for God's peace. When we have God's peace, we'll see what to do. When we have God's peace, we'll know how to act rather than getting drawn into reacting mode. Remember, God knows the end from the beginning, and these verses are just another reminder to keep looking for God because he's always right in the middle of our lives. And I found many times he hides in plain sight, but he's waiting to be looked for. Rather than asking, why me, Lord? Step back and ask for God's wisdom and revelation. Ask this question. What are you doing here, Lord? What are you doing here, Lord? Sometimes just slowing down enough to ask that question will lift us above the turmoil of the moment and help us make a better decision. Things always look different from above than they do at ground level. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. In the heavens, there's Jesus, our advocate at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And in the heavenly realm, there's the Holy Spirit helping us in our weakness, interceding for us with groans that words cannot express. Romans 8 also says that when we don't know what we ought to pray, the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Listen to how the Passion translates this part of Romans 8. The Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. And God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings. Yet he also understands the desires of the Holy Spirit as he passionately pleads before God for us in perfect harmony with God's plan and destiny. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. That's the view from above. But what if I make my bed in the depths? Although the King James Version actually says, if I make my bed in hell, in Hebrew it's the word Sheol, the place of the dead, a grave, a pit, a tomb. The Message Bible says, if I go underground. Well, if we've surrendered the control of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, physical death is absolutely nothing to fear because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. However, feeling like we're gonna die or feeling like we are dying while we're still very much alive on the planet, That's a whole nother issue. David wrote that even in the face of death, if I make my bed in the depths, the Holy Spirit is there. Amen. Hey, maybe there's something to find in the depths other than just rock bottom. What if there is someone else and something else we can discover in the depths? What if we were able to find and experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit in the depths? Romans 11 says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. For from him and through him and to him are all things. We don't have to be in the depths to find those riches, but if we are, we can. The depths also open up a place to identify with Jesus and to find our identity in Christ. Jesus was tempted in every way, tested in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. He knows and understands the depths of what we're going through better than we do. And he has personally been through deeper depths than we can imagine. Jesus has actually been to hell and back. Here's good news. Especially when we're in the depths, God doesn't hold our weaknesses against us. Psalm 34, God promised to be close to the brokenhearted and to save those who are crushed in spirit. In Isaiah 42, he said, he doesn't break bruised reeds and he doesn't snuff out smoldering wicks. What an awesome God we serve. Psalm 16, David wrote, you will not abandon me to the grave, and that's the same Hebrew word for the depths, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. And instead, here's what God will do. You will make known to me the path of my life. And you will fill me with joy in your presence. And you will fill me with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Maybe that's the secret. In the depths, when we feel like we're at our wit's end, when we feel like we can't hold on any longer, what if we just let ourselves be held by God? I will rest in your promises. Your faithfulness is my confidence. This is how I fight my battles. When it looks like I'm surrounded, I'm surrounded by you. Remember Job's resolve? God knows the way that I take. He has concern for it. He appreciates it and he pays attention to it. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as refined gold, pure and luminous. Job said that. Psalm 71 in the Passion says, even though you have let us sink down with trials and troubles, I know you will revive us again, lifting us up from the dust of death. Give us even more greatness than before. Turn and comfort us once again. I will never stop telling others how perfect you are. Yes. While those who seek my harm slink away, ashamed and defeated. Verse 9, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. These verses can be interpreted directionally. If I go as far and as fast as I can to the east where the sun rises, or if I go as far and as fast as I can to the west where the sun sets, whichever way we go, God's Spirit is there to guide us, and God's right hand holds us fast. This Hebrew word for guide is rich. It means to carry, to move, to impart from one place to another. Yes. To carry. Man, sometimes we just feel like we're just on our own and we don't even know how we're making it. And it's just like you're feeling like, where is God and what's going on? And I want to tell you that in those moments, more likely than not, he's the one carrying you. You think you're doing it by your own willpower. But it's his mercy and his grace carrying you. That footprints in the sand poem, you know, where it's like two footprints in the sand. And then in the hardest times of my life, there was just one set of footprints. And I asked God, where were you? And he said, that's when I was carrying you. That's why there was only one set, because we weren't walking together. And then when you got strong, I put you down and we walked together. That's the Holy Spirit guides us like that. The Holy Spirit moves us. The Holy Spirit moves. I've known more than one person in my life who took a job or moved to another city thinking they were going for this reason. And then when they get there, that's not what it turned out to be, but there was somebody else they needed to meet or something else they needed to do. They had to get repositioned into the right place. And the amazing thing about when the Holy Spirit is guiding us is he doesn't have to do it so obvious and out front. He is very satisfied to do it subtle and behind the scenes without ever us knowing that was him until we're on the other side. And then we look back and go, oh, that was you, wasn't it? That was you. That was you working in that. Also, the Holy Spirit, things that he imparts to us. Man, I remember the first time I ever, the power of the Lord just hit me and just wiped me out for 90 minutes. I was never the same after that. I remember around my 40th birthday having a dream, and that I had, my dad had been an associate pastor for 30 years. I was serving as associate pastor, loving it, loving it, loving it, totally satisfied with what I was doing, totally fulfilled. And I had this dream, and I was sitting next to Cindy on a couch in her house in the dream, and I was weeping, weeping, weeping. And I told her, I can't do it. I can't be a second the rest of my life, which was news to me because I was totally happy doing that. And 2 years later, I was here. And 2 years later, I was here. The Holy Spirit imparting. The Holy Spirit imparting things to us. Our daughter Faith is over in Bulgaria this morning, this weekend. I guess it's evening over there right now. And they're at a church that 30 years ago, God showed up, and they've been meeting every day for 30 years now in their community. And then she sent this little story about a pastor that she met over there, Breznica. And this pastor hit a point of weariness in his ministry, and he wanted to quit. And then someone in town died, so they called him to come pray for her. And he went and prayed, and she came back to life, and she said, God told me to tell you not to quit. Come on now. Our God knows us. Our God knows us. And the Holy Spirit has so many brilliant, creative ways to guide us and to impart to us the information we need to get us moving from one place to another. And this word holds us fast. It's a straight out aggressive term that means to seize and to hold in possession. So no matter where we go, we can always be sure that God is always there working in and around us with a firm grip on our lives. Yes. Isaiah 49 says that a mother may forget her child, but God never forgets us. Yes. Because we are engraved on the palms of his hands. Yes. He really does have the whole world in his hands. As George Conway just likes to say, big God, big God. Late last year, our daughter Martha was expecting a baby in Midland. And we were trying to decide when to go and when to go visit her, you know, when to be there, because we want to be there when the baby is born and help take care of Nellie and all those kind of things. We were trying to figure it out. And, you know, you just never know the timing. Babies come when babies come, right? And so we laid down one night to go to bed, and 2 hours later, the phone starts buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. And it was on. The water had broken, and it was on. The midwife was on the way. We were packing up our stuff, and off we went to Midland. And 20 out to Ozona, and then Ozona through the oil fields and the cotton fields and all that kind of stuff that's out there. You know, it's dark out there. At that time of the morning, I mean, there's no lights, there's no nothing, there's hardly any traffic. If anybody ever did come around at us, I mean, it was like blinding light because it's just so dark. You're trying to just open your eyes as wide as you can to see where you're going. And so here we are racing from Kerrville to Midland in the wee hours of the morning. And as it does every day, right before the sun comes up, it's the very darkest, right? But then in an instant, bam, everything changes. The sun comes up. And it's not just the brightness of the sun, but it's the light that spreads out all across the horizon. That's another part of the word picture, if I rise on the wings of the dawn. Those moments when it seems the darkest, and then the sun comes up. Spiritually speaking, if I rise in the wings of the dawn, it made me think about people in the Bible who suddenly found themselves in the presence of the Lord. Like when Isaiah wrote, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And like when a radiant light as bright as the sun poured from his face, and his clothing became luminous, dazzling like lightning when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And like when Stephen was being stoned and he looked up and he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. God met each of them in those moments like that. In a similar way, if I settle on the far side of the sea made me think of people in the Bible who suddenly met God in a seemingly distant place. Like when Moses came upon a burning bush after spending 40 years on the backside of a desert. Like when Elijah was hiding in a cave afraid of Jezebel. And after a tornado, an earthquake, and a fireball, God in a gentle whisper asked him again, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, had a dream in Egypt that it was now safe to return to Nazareth. Paul was in a Roman prison when God told him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness." John was in the Isle of Patmos in exile on the Lord's day when he suddenly was in the Spirit. And that visitation became the book of Revelation. God met each of them in a seemingly distant place. I settle on the far side of the sea. And God will meet each of us there too, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 11, "Surely I say, if I say, the darkness will hide me and the night become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." David had known several dark times in his life. Years spent running and hiding from King Saul. The time his men talked about stoning him when their city was burned with all their families taken captive. The time when David and Bathsheba's first child died. As well as the time David had to evacuate Jerusalem to escape a coup initiated by his own son, Absalom. In Hebrew, this darkness comes from a word that figuratively means misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness. None of us look forward to or invite any of that into our lives. And if they come, life tends to feel overwhelming. But God. I said this last week and I'm going to repeat it again. Even what we perceive of as the darkest darkness does not have the innate ability to hide us from God. David wrote, "The darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day." Paul said that this way in 2 Corinthians 4. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine in the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Where can I flee from your presence? Where can I flee from your faces? Letting the light of God shine in our hearts, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And we'll talk more about that next weekend. Have you heard Torn Wells' song, "God's Not Done With You"? "Stand in the ruins, feels like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now, all you see is ashes where there was a flame. Truth is, you're not forgotten because God knows your name. There's a light you don't notice until you're standing in the dark, and there's a strength that's growing inside your shattered heart. God's not done with you, even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars. God's not done with you, even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart. God's not done with you. It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, because God's not done with you." So powerful. You know, when life starts feeling like a series of confusing contradictions, here's how we can sort out what's what. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundant and to the full." An abundant life to the full is God's intention for each of us. That is an unchangeable fact. How do we live that out while being in the world, but not being of it? Several times the Bible says, "The righteous live by faith." The righteous live by faith. The righteous live by faith. You know, if it had just said that one time in Scripture, that would have been enough. But God repeated it for emphasis. The righteous live by faith. Tell somebody next to you, the righteous live by faith. No matter where we find ourselves, up, down, or sideways, and no matter what life feels like in the moment, from euphoria to the depths, we'll make better decisions and avoid being constantly stressed about the wrong things by practicing faithfulness to God's word and in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then regardless of where our circumstances find us in this broken world, where nothing is as it should be, we can keep walking in the light with God, in his mercy, in his grace, in his truth, in his love. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you did. And we thank you that when you finished here, you said, I got something better for you. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray even this morning, with all that we've sung, all that we've seen, all that we've experienced, our heart would open up to you and your word in a fresh way. A love for your written word, a love for the scriptures would just be fanned into flame inside of us. Yes. Matched with a love for your spirit. Because the wisdom and the revelation, the understanding we need, the guidance we need, the comfort we need, it comes from the Holy Spirit. We can't just be religious. You've called us to be in a relationship with the living God. The indwelling presence, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. Lord, forgive us for just operating in our own strength rather than tapping into that divine power every minute, every breath, every day. Keep drawing us to you, Lord, more and more and more and more. Thank you that no matter where we go, from the highest heights to the lowest lows, you are always there. Thank you for your hand in our lives. Forgive us for the times we try to break free. Let us just rest and be held by you. Let us walk and move with you, in step with your spirit, so that we can bring the honor and the glory that you are worthy to be given in this life. Lord, you deserve some people that are living that way on the planet now, and we want to be some of those. And we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.